What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live. We are inside NRG Stadium. Seth and I doing the show today live from the broadcast booth where Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware call all of your home Houston Texan games so we can scurry across the street afterwards and catch every minute possible of joint practice today between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans.
Yes, this is the joint practices in a lot of ways are probably way more important than the preseason games, and because you just get more reps. You're going to see the starters in specific situations. You can do what you want to do. You get to choose, okay, I'd like CJ to get 8 to 12 red zone snaps, you can work with the head coach. You know, Canales and D'Amico get together or will have already gotten together and talked about which situations they want to see. Yep. So, and then when it comes to evaluating the other guys, too, there's a lot of young guys, receivers especially, I think. You know, you get into a preseason game, and you're only going to get so many reps, and depending on what the other team's defense is doing and which backup quarterback you're playing with, it can be sometimes hard to judge exactly just how far along a guy is. So in a combined practice, you get to get a lot of reps of the younger receivers and getting, you know, in situations and get just more film on them than you're going to be able to get in three preseason games.
Yeah. So we'll be out there today and noon kick out here on Saturday between the two teams. And we haven't heard anything yet about what to anticipate. And we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow because I'm guessing D'Amico's going to get one more crack with the media today where he'll get asked who's going to play
who's not going to play. Yeah. I was jealous because Dave Canales, the coach of the Panthers, after their game against the Browns, just flat out said we'll probably play Bryce Young about three series.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, if they go three and out, then he'll definitely get three series. If they have a long first series, maybe they'll change it.
Yeah.
But they
got some clarity, I guess.
Yeah. So if the Panthers for sure are going to be playing their starters for at least a couple of series, I would enjoy watching the Texans starters versus their starters.
I would too. There's certain starters I don't need to see. I don't need to see Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, or Derek Stingley until the first defensive series in Los Angeles on September 7th.
I do. I think Dave Canales needs to see those guys to see if some of these improvements they made to their offensive line can actually keep their diminutive quarterback
safe. You've got enough. I don't know if vengeance is the right word, but
I want blood, Sean. I want blood. I want this to be a bludgeoning. Okay,
you're willing to risk the injury to see a massacre out there.
I spell bludgeoning with two O's. Okay. That's what I want this to be.
Okay.
I don't want there to be any daylight when it comes to the discussion about Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or anybody else. And a lot of people say, hey, Seth,
preseason game
this
is going to be the
meaningless game.
Factor.
Even if the Texans do bludgeon the Panthers, what does it really mean?
Okay.
I say, you shut your dirty mouth.
Okay.
I want to see blood.
Yep.
I want to see violence.
You're talking me into it.
Yeah.
I think I want to see blood too.
Let's treat the first quarter of this preseason game like it's the Super Bowl.
Oh, let's.
All right.
Let's treat the pregame show on Saturday like it's the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's be intense.
I want people from other cities.
let's be intense.
I want people from Carolina to be listening in and be like, these guys are clowns.
Yeah.
Have they ever even watched the NFL before?
No, we got
to understand this is a preseason
game. We need
game?
To bring postseason intensity to the pregame show on Saturday. That's my goal.
I'm going to have so much coffee coursing through my veins.
Yes, yes.
Possibly other things.
All right, yeah, for sure. Okay, ceilings and floors for all 32 NFL teams. I'm a big best case, worst case guy. I like to look at it through that lens.
Yeah.
Have you looked at this article?
I have not.
I'd love for you to guess, or give you even more so. I'd love to get your opinion before we share the opinion of DJ Bieniemy on ESPN.com.
Okay, what they'll always tell you is that for the most part, you know, there's dumb luck can play the part in at least three or four games in any given year. So
for
you
sure.
take a 500 football team. You know, with a few bounces of the ball, they could have been an 11-win team and vice versa.
Yep.
A lot of times, turnovers are those literal bounces of the balls that dictate that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that right now, people respect the Texans' defense.
Do they ever? I was in a fantasy draft last night. They're number one in all the fantasy rankings.
For fantasy stuff especially.
Yeah.
Because it's the big plays.
Sacks,
they're
really
good at the big plays.
Yeah,
it's some of the big plays they allow that hurts them. But yeah, in terms of
those
sacks.
Those don't damage you in fantasy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but aside from all that, the turnovers are the thing that's kind of flukish.
Yeah.
And I think they look at the Texans' offense and on paper have very real and understandable and justifiable questions about them.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people look at the Texans as like, okay, when you balance out the offense and the defense, probably a 500 team, except that the defense makes up for some of that
could
because
be elite.
Of the big plays.
Yeah.
So I bet the over-under is, what, 9.5?
9.5.
9.5.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing worst-case scenario for them is about 6.5 games.
So they do a record. So you're saying like 6-11.
Yeah, yeah.
6-11.
Because the defense is going to be good regardless, and because they tend to create a lot of big plays, that's going to, even if the offense continues to struggle, they'll still win some games with defensive performance.
Okay, so you feel 6-11, and you're saying that's what they have in ESPN, or you feel that way too?
I'm more optimistic about the offense.
But
so
like the worst case
scenario, I would probably say 7.5.
Okay,
but I think they said 6.5.
They said 6-11. They do a record for the season. So
yeah, sorry, 6-11.
6-11. Give the man a ding. Give the man a ding, Ben. He got it. 6-11 is what DJ Bieniemy has. All right, so ceiling for this team. What is your best case, and what do you think DJ's best case
is? My best case scenario, and they play a difficult schedule this year, at least as it looks right now.
They play an easier schedule, though, from this standpoint. There's not the three primetime games in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
There's not that Christmas stretch where, you know, I
they
think part
the
of them
gauntlet of playoff contending.
Well,
teams.
And they played three games in 11 days against the Dolphins, Chiefs. You know, they went to Kansas City and then 4 days later came back home to play on Christmas against the Ravens. And I get it. Like, hey, man, there were two teams on that field and one of them won 31-2.
Yeah,
you got to play with the hand that you're dealt. But this is a team that had been playing noon Sunday schedules for 3 years before that.
Part of it, though, too, is that some of their more difficult games they play on the road.
Yeah.
They play
this
in Baltimore.
Year.
They play in Kansas City.
They play in L.A. to start the season.
Right. They did. I mean, they played in Kansas City last year. Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at this point, who knows? I don't know how to take the Rams right this moment
until
I hear about Stafford.
Yep.
Okay, so best case scenario, by the same token, I'm more optimistic about the offense than maybe I have a right to be.
Yeah.
But by the same token, the turnovers giveth and the turnovers taketh away. If the defense continues to be a huge play, huge takeaway defense, then I'd say 13 wins.
13 is your ceiling? Okay, that's your ceiling. What do you think DJ had?
I think DJ said 12.
DJ said 11, so I'll give you, if you're within one, I think, you know, give the man a ding, Ben. I'm in a good mood this morning.
Yeah, I know, ceiling on an NFL team, there's just so many weird years where some teams that are kind of mediocre end up,
a
12 or 13 win.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think they're accounting for the far margin stuff.
Yeah.
I think the ceiling for this team, I'm more of a 12 win. I'm more optimistic like you do. As far as the ceiling, I think 6-11 is an appropriate floor, though. I think there's a big window for this team right now because of so many unknowns with the offense.
Yeah.
Because they are very reliant on turnovers right now. And here's the other thing, too. And I was asked this question. I went on the BetQL network the other day, and they said, what's it going to take for the Texans to finally? They asked me, what's it going to take for the Texans to finally break through and get to at least a conference title game?
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty simple. Like, I don't know that. Like, it's an element of the team, like X's and O's or a position group. I mean, it always is. It's the play on the field. But I think just in general, like from 30,000 feet, they need to stop losing these games to these bad teams that they have since D'Amico got here.
The Titans, per se.
They lose at least two games each of these. The last two seasons, they've lost a couple of games in each of those seasons that they had no business losing. They have you like the first season D'Amico was here, they gave up 350 yards passing to Desmond Ridder.
Right.
And lost on in the last second on a field goal. They lost to Zach Wilson in New York. Like, those are inexcusable losses. And then last year, they lose to the Jets again on Thursday night, the only good game Aaron Rodgers really had. All year. I know he put up some numbers last year, but that was the only like
and it was
stats
really,
and good half of football
and it
that he
was
played.
One half of football.
One half
really.
Of football.
The second half that he was the classic Aaron Rodgers.
And the Titans game that you brought up, inexcusable. They had and the host, Kate, said to me, how about winning games where you intercept the ball five times? And I said, Kate, you're a genius, because that's the other thing. We cannot have three losses this year where afterwards we go to Twitter and said, prior to this game between the Texans and so-and-so, the record for teams that sustained 8 sacks and a pick six and only got 4 yards per attempt, blah, blah, blah. Previously to this, they were 0-115.
Yeah, this is the first time. We don't need any of these losses. This is the first time in history.
There were like
three
of those.
The losing team did a bunch of good things
last year.
The Titans game, you watch it. You want to watch it. It's a miracle that Will Levis even made it out of that game alive.
8 sacks.
Yeah.
7 in the first half.
You turned him. This defense's ability to turn subpar quarterbacks into the best version of themselves is the weirdest thing. And I almost wonder if it is, if they get too. If they just get a little too greedy on defense, that there are, because some of those big plays that did them in have been with lapses in the secondary or poor leverage or whatever, to where they might just be a little bit too interception. They've got interception fever. They've got sack fever. They've got all of those things. I can live with a bad performance versus the Kansas City Chiefs or like not playing up to your best. I can't live with not playing up to your best against the Tennessee Titans at home.
Correct. And I think that's the key. To me, ultimately, the key. We can sit here and go, well, the offensive line needs to be this, and CJ needs to do that, and on defense, this or that. They flat out just need to win these games against bad teams that they haven't been winning. If they do that, Seth, and they just do the other things they've been doing, just be average offensively. You don't have to be great. And the defense, I think, does need to be great. But if you do if you by and large do the things that you've done over the last couple of years, but just instead of losing to the Falcons and the Jets, or instead of losing to the Titans and the Jets, win those games, I think you're the 2 seed in the AFC. And that's the key. I think the key is having a home game in the second round of the playoffs.
If I could point to how ludicrous the offense was, though, last year. I mean, that part of the reason, many of you remember this, obviously, but the Texans lose to the Lions despite intercepting Jared Goff 5 times.
Yeah.
The second half started off like this. Texans interception, Lions interception. This is the drive chart. Texans 3 and out.
Yeah.
Lions touchdown, but then Texans interception. Okay. Yeah. Oh, but then
interception.
Texans defense gets an interception.
Yep.
And then the Texans offense 3 and out, and then the dam kind of broke on the defense.
The second half offense. That's a great point. It's the second half offense.
And they just traded back and forth turnovers to where the offense, the offense couldn't do anything with the gifts that the defense was providing.
That's
them
something
with.
We haven't talked about that a lot with Nick Caley, because I think we're so hyper focused on installing the system and figuring out who's going to play on this offensive line, that if I had to throw something else in there that Nick Caley needs to be way better than Bobby Slowick at, it's scoring points in the second half of football games.
Yeah.
That's we haven't really talked about that.
Not to get overly technical.
Minor
but,
details.
Yeah, scoring points in the second half of the team.
My analysis for the season just was they need to win more games against bad teams, but I think maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but if you just beat the bad teams on your schedule and split against the good teams on your schedule, that might be enough to be the 2 seed in the AFC.
And I think sometimes, you know, we talk about second half adjustments, and usually what football coaches just say, they'll act like second half adjustments are just a big fallacy and nonsense. There are times where they do figure some things out, and there's like a dramatic second half adjustment.
Yeah.
But really, I think what you're concerned about is more, it's the decisions you make on the fly throughout the course of the game. The halftime is almost an arbitrary time to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
It's that Bobby Slowick felt so much that he was paint by numbers and had a plan for how he wanted it to go, but he had no sense or feel for how to adapt to what was working, what wasn't working. It's not the specific halftime adjustments. It's the series-to-series adjustments of just changing and going with how the game is flowing that day. you just hope that Nick Cayley's a lot better at that than what's his face?
Than Slowick was. Yeah, than Slowick. Yeah, Cayley's going to be down on the sideline for this game.
Yeah, he's experimenting with it.
Yeah.
He's always been on the sideline his entire career,
yep.
He said, and he wanted to get that perspective of being up in the booth, and now he's going to try it from the sideline.
The one thing he did say yesterday about being up here, and you're wondering why I'm saying up here, you're just tuning in. Seth and I are actually in the broadcast booth at NRG Stadium today. The Texans coaching staff is in the booth right next door on game day. This is, he said, it's just peaceful. You know, you kind of spread out a little bit.
Well, yeah, you've got room for your notes and everything. Yeah, it's a better workspace. And you can see, it's interesting. You can see a lot more from up here. And he talked yesterday about how he tries to stand behind the play a little bit, mm-hmm. Which is you just get a better view from the end zone. So when he's down on the field, he tries to stand behind the play.
Yep.
I pointed, and that's bad for radio. You know,
it's good for the people watching on the camera right there. Shout out YouTube and Twitch.
I like coordinators being up in the booth.
I would like to be up in the booth.
I get the appeal of being able to look in a guy's eyes and have that communication and everything. But there's some things that you just look. You might have the smartest people in the world up in the booth, but there's still a telephone game going on a little bit, a literal telephone game, because they got to get down to you on the headset about certain things and what they're seeing, and you might not understand it exactly the way they're seeing it, or you might have a different opinion about it. I like coordinators being up in the booth.
Well, I think some of it is a function of being up in the booth. I would imagine, I'm not a football person, but I'm just trying to think commonsensically on this, is how much trust you have in your position coaches down there.
Yeah.
You know, because you are going to need some bedside situations down there with hands in the clay talking to a guy on the bench.
A two-minute break and everything. But there's times where the discussions have to be had on the field. The quarterback can't always go and get on the phone or on the headset.
Trust in Gerard Johnson.
Yeah.
Trust, you know, in some...
Well,
in
actually,
some
but he can be on the headset with Cayley in the booth. So, yeah, I don't... Yeah.
But just, you know, I think sometimes there is something about interpersonal, being with somebody and talking to them face-to-face, that you trust your assistant coaches, your position coaches, Bill Lazor, Szaplinski. I don't know where he's going to be, if he's going to be next to Cayley. I think some of it, too, is, you know, how much more is D'Amico Ryans going to be a CEO type coach? You know, how much more is he down there on the sidelines talking to CJ or talking to the offensive line?
Well, and Burke talked about that too, because mm-hmm. Burke's going to be kind of messing around with it, I believe, right?
Yep.
Which I wonder if Matt Burke is more. I think that this year, it might be much more Matt Burke's defense.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, obviously D'Amico's always going to have a huge influence on the defense. But between D'Amico talking about delegating and getting better at delegating, and the issues they had on offense last year, I wonder. I'm guessing they certainly discussed it at some point in the offseason, because every team does every year. Okay, how can we do things differently? What should we have done better? And I got to think that there was a part of D'Amico that wishes he had gotten more in elbow deep with the offense last year to figure out some of what was wrong and how he could handle it. But meanwhile, he's so heavily involved in the defense that you can only do so much.
I think, too, with the defense, Seth, is that when D'Amico got here, this was not a great defense. And so I think if you're D'Amico, and who had a lot of success as a defensive coordinator, he was the guy in San Francisco because it was Kyle Shanahan, the head coach. He delegated that to D'Amico. You get here and you have a defense that maybe is not as maybe nearly as talented as the one he has this season, and you feel like, okay, I'm the one who's going to push the buttons because I'm the one who needs to come up with the little wrinkles and things that are going to close the gap.
Yeah.
This is a defense, talent-wise, it's probably a little easier for him to delegate now.
And I think the other side of that, too, is the culture side of it, and just that I need to be sure that these guys are operating the way that I want them to operate.
Yeah.
And we saw Sheldon Rankins, when he came back and did his appearance after practice, this training camp, Sheldon Rankins had been here in 2023. He was gone in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back, and they asked him what's the difference, and he said the culture is set.
It's set.
It's just D'Amico doesn't have to explain anything. So I think the veteran leadership and the guy's knowledge of not just the X's and O's, but the way D'Amico wants them to operate, that's D'Amico doesn't have to be as hands-on with that anymore.
Right.
But this is what I suggest they do, though. Just, you know, how the head coaches have the get-back guy sometimes?
Yeah.
The guy that's supposed to keep the coach from stepping on the field and getting a penalty?
Yes.
And as well as everybody else? McVay's got that one guy that has to, like, lasso him around
the
waist and
following him around, like, with a rope practice.
I think they need a guy to keep D'Amico away from the defense.
Ooh.
They need a guy to, like, if defense starts walking over to the defensive bench, he has to be like, hey, D'Amico, are you sure this is what you need to do right now? And D'Amico says, oh, you know what? You're exactly right.
Or let's, you know what? If we're going to be edgy here, let's get real edgy. Let's put a an electric fence around the defense and put a shock collar on D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
He starts to get near that defense. Yeah.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, do you want to hear from Laken Tomlinson, Seth?
Yes, yeah, okay. So you talk Laken Tomlinson, who's the most freakish thing about Laken Tomlinson is he's been in the league over a decade,
yep.
And he's only missed one regular season game.
It's crazy. I didn't ask him about that. Damn.
Yeah.
Why are you so durable? Why? I should have asked him that.
Very Chester Pitts-like.
Very much
so. Durability.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, drafted by the Lions. He was a first-round pick back in the day out of Duke. Drafted by the Lions, traded to the Niners. He's played for the Jets and the Seahawks. So the Texans now the fifth team that he's played on. I caught up with Texans left guard Laken Tomlinson after practice yesterday. Sean Pendergast here in the bowels of NRG Stadium right after the walkthrough, getting ready for Carolina on Saturday. And I'm here with Texans guard Laken Tomlinson. Laken, first, welcome to Houston. This is the first chance you and I have had to chat. How's Houston treating you so far?
Man, it's been awesome so far. Obviously, linking up with D'Amico and some fellow teammates I've had, Aziz. It's been great. Everyone's been super welcoming. It's been a smooth transition.
Okay, so that's a good segue right there. I was going to ask you about the O-line room and I'm going to and how things are going on the field, but you brought up D'Amico's name. So when you came into the league, D'Amico, I don't know if D'Amico, did you get to San Francisco first or did D'Amico get there first?
So I think I got there.
What year were you drafted?
I was drafted in 15. So my first team was Detroit Lions. I got drafted there, and then I got traded to San Francisco when Shanahan got there.
Okay.
Then D'Amico came on board, the defensive linebackers coach.
Yeah.
And then, I've been with him there like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So it's been awesome getting to see him again and just working with him. It's been super cool.
Take us back to that. The D'Amico Ryans that you remember from back in 2017 when he got there in 2018, at that time, you know, you were on the offensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. so it's not like you were in the rooms with him all the time or anything like that, but did you see the makings of what he's become as a head coach?
100%. I mean, you can see that through the players that he coached as well. You know, obviously Aziz being one of those guys, the young guys that he came in and drafted, you know, Fred Warner, some guys mm-hmm. like that, and, you know, to see the passion that those guys play with, and it's a testament to the coach that they had at the time and D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this offensive line room. As long as we're talking about coaches, how's it been playing for Cole Popovich so far?
What's oh, man, it's been amazing. Cole Popovich, man, he's an offensive line coach through and through. I love the way he coached the guys, the way he teaches the guys just the in and outs of the scheme. And, you know, the kind of grit that he expects from us and the standard that he's setting for us right now, it's been awesome. And every day we're coming out, we're working, we're trying to get better as a group and building that chemistry. So far it's been great working with him.
How would you describe that room as in totality?
Man, it's been super cohesive. Everyone is super eager to learn, super eager to work with each other. The young guys talk a lot and ask a lot of questions, which is amazing yeah. from a young rookie group, especially from Tay. And, you know, so far, you know, the guys have been just coming to work every day with a grinder's mentality mm-hmm. and open ears to coaching and just putting our head down on work, man. And when you have that as an offensive line room, it's awesome.
How's the installation been so far of the offense?
Oh, it's been great. Every day we're knocking out installs. Obviously, we've, you know, guys, one great thing with guys here is that we've been here since OTA. It's yeah. like everyone's been here. So we've had a chance to take a deep dive into that, mm-hmm. build chemistry and offensive line front as well. And, you know, just going through the installs together, everyone there, yeah. it's been great.
So in the last several days, you've been lined up, you've been at left guard, and you've got Tay next to you, Ariante Ursary next to you. Let's just fast forward a little bit. If it's week one and the two of you, if you're playing next to each other out there, take us through your vet. You just mentioned it, 2015, you've been doing this a decade now. He's going to be playing in his first NFL game. Talk about the uniqueness of that situation, and are there things that you need to do as the guy playing left guard next to a rookie left tackle to maybe help him more than you might need to a veteran left tackle?
Right. I mean, you know, my advice, you know, just to any young guy, you know, have the extreme pleasure of playing, you know, their rookie season. I had the extreme pleasure of playing my rookie season.
Yeah.
And, you know, just come in, you know, and lean on your brothers.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of guys that can support you. Either it's me, Trent, Cam, all those guys, Titus, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Just lean on your vets, and you know, no matter what, the team always has your back.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a young guy like Tay, with so amazing talent and the mindset that he has about his work, man, sky's the limit for him. He's just continuing on that trajectory.
How has it been playing with C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. You know, obviously, you know, coming in and seeing his leadership from OTAs and how he connects with the guys in the locker room, it's been amazing. And the way he commands the huddle as well and the way he executes the schemes out there in practice so far, it's been fantastic. I love his approach to the game. I can't wait to see him out there just dominating out there on Sundays.
Okay, now the flip side, how has it been going against guys like, I mean, I know they're on the edge, but Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson, I'm sure, wind up in your lap from time to time. And even the guys on the interior, Settle and Mario Edwards, and that defense as a whole, how's that been?
Man,
in camp?
We have an amazing defense here. And going against those guys every day in training camp, it's an amazing opportunity for both sides to get better. And for us as offensive line, you know, the standard we want for our room, going against that type of defense every day is fantastic. And Coach Miko has a saying, iron sharpens iron,
yep.
right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when we have those opponents like our defense mm-hmm. going against every day, man, it makes for a great opportunity for both of us to grow.
Okay, a couple non-football questions for you. You're a Duke grad. So yes, I got to ask you, I'm not going to ask you about basketball or, you know, how much everybody hates Duke and stuff like that. I'm not going to do that. I am curious, if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't playing football, I'd probably still be in school. Probably
really?
Still be a school.
Just learning, huh?
Yeah, I've always been interested in medicine.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go to med school, be in that realm for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. What did you major in at Duke?
So I double majored in psychology and evolution anthropology.
Okay.
And I also did the whole pre-med track there as well. So that kind of was like my, well, that was, you know, if football obviously didn't work
yeah,
out,
yeah.
that was going to be my segue.
Interesting. Okay, now my last thing I've got for you. My wife and I went to Jamaica last month.
Yaman.
So you moved here to the United States when you were 13 years old, right?
I was 11, yeah.
11 years yep. old, okay. And you played high school ball up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get back to Jamaica?
Yes.
Okay.
When we broke minicamp, I took my family there. I have two young kids.
Okay.
And my daughter Taylor and my son Leon, 5 and 2.
Yeah.
I took my family to Jamaica, their first time, my kids' first time back to Jamaica.
Okay.
And I, you know, it was for me, you know, being a proud Jamaican, you know, my heritage is like extremely important to me.
Yeah.
It was very important for me to give them that experience, show them where I grew up,
yep.
and just being able to have them see a piece of my culture.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, I love going to Jamaica. I try to go back every year.
Okay, we're gonna try to go back. It was our first time. We're gonna.
Where'd you guys go? Where'd you guys
go? We went to Negril.
Negril, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one of the big all inclusives there.
Oh my God, fantastic!
Royalton Hideaway, Royalton Negril.
That's my mom's favorite place.
It Royalton, is?
Yes. Okay. I swear, she stays there every time she goes back.
We absolutely loved it. I had at least one thing I needed to confirm with you, because so our limo driver back to the airport, mm-hmm. our last day there, so we were talking to him and we were talking our ears off. It was a 2-hour drive, you know, it's one
yeah,
road from
Negril, yeah, going around the
all
cliffs.
The way to Montego
yeah.
Bay. Okay, so he told me something. I said, I can't believe I'm hearing this is true. He said in Jamaica, he said when you don't know somebody and you walk up to them, you want to greet them, you just greet them with whatever their physical features are.
Like
he's like, watch this, and he rolls down the window to a woman and he says, "Yo, fatty." And I'm like, what? And she turned around and said, "What do you want, man?" He rolled the window down for another guy. He was a big dude like you. Yo, Biggs.
Big man.
Yo, Biggs. Yo,
yeah.
Yo, big man.
Yeah, yeah.
He was calling he called the pool guy at our resort, was probably 5'2". He's like, "That's little man, right?
Yeah.
That's small man." So is that accurate? Like, would I get in trouble if I started walking up to people saying, "Yo, fatty"?
Yo, we got the thing in Jamaica. Everything's Irie in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So everything's super chill.
Yeah.
And everyone said zero stress, keep everything one love. And, you know, when you talk to someone, especially that culture, everything's just a vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you go back, as long as you match that vibe, you have a great time there.
They called him Greg in the skinny jeans. That's what they called him. And, the bartender called me Pretty Eyes. And I was I'll take it.
There
I'll
you
take
go.
It.
There
yeah.
you go. Matching
yeah.
the vibe, man.
I revive.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Texans guard Lakin Tomlinson. Lakin, appreciate you, man. Flash those H's up for the camera right
yes,
there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was great, Sean. Is he talking about that, about everything being Irie? You imagine being 12 years old going from a place where everything is Irie to Chicago?
To Chicago in the winter.
Did they move in the winter?
I don't know, but he lived in some winters. I can tell you, it never gets to be 11 degrees in Jamaica.
Chicago's not like you know, a city like New York or something where people are, or Boston where
it
people
ain't Irie. I live there. I can tell you that.
That's a shock to the system,
dude. Yeah, yeah.
He needs to work for the Tourism Board of Jamaica.
Yeah, he was great. Well, we talked.
People aren't aware of the tourism appeal of Jamaica.
We talked for a while after that interview. We talked for like another 15 minutes. A lot of it was about Jamaica, and he had talked about his grandmother had passed away, and he hadn't been back to Jamaica since she had passed away. So it was a chance for not only was it his kids ages 5 and 2. I think he said. Their first trip there, but they got to kind of memorialize his grandmother there. Like, he still has deep roots in Jamaica. He's a very interesting guy, man. His wife is a PhD. His family's still back in San Francisco, his wife and kids. She's a PhD at UCSF, University of California at San Fran.
He's just a
really interesting guy.
Sometimes when people say, like, well, if I hadn't done this, I would be in medical school. You're kind of like, yeah, that's easy to say.
I believe him.
Yeah, I 100% believe it with Lakin Tomlinson.
I believe him.
And it's funny because, he's probably still, depending on what he went into, he would still be in college.
He would probably.
Or he'd be in a residency or something, you know. He would still be training.
My immediate reaction in my head, I didn't say this on the interview. It probably would have been funny if I did, but... when he said, he's a 10-year vet. He's been out of school for 10 years. I'd probably still be in school. And I'm thinking to myself, you're like one of those kids that just doesn't feel like going into the real world.
Yeah,
just going to keep staying in school
forever.
I'm
working my 7th PhD.
Exactly.
Mommy said I can get one more PhD.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like that guy.
He put me in a good mood, man. That guy, I really enjoyed talking to him.
I think the part
about football stuff.
When it comes to, I'm glad that he mentioned cohesiveness, because that's, you know, that's what we've talked about, is that it's an offensive line is greater than the sum of its parts. A good offensive line is greater than the sum of its parts. And there are plenty of examples every year of offensive lines that play above what they look like on paper. Last year, I would say Tampa and the Ravens were a couple of good examples, because I remember preparing for the Ravens game and looking at some of the offensive linemen and watching some of the film and thinking, all right, you know, individually, there's not a lot of guys on here that are all that impressive, but they work really well. Now, it also helps to have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry behind you.
Yes.
That tends to make you a better offensive lineman.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that Tampa's a good example, where Tampa has a couple of studs, but then also three guys that were kind of journeyman types. But they, because they were well-coached and because they were a cohesive unit, they ended up operating at a high level as an offensive line. And that's where I'm encouraged so far with some of the things out at camp. Even when things aren't going well, this is a weird place to be. I'm actually happy when it's a physical breakdown or a loss. When a guy gets beat individually, I can say, all right, that's going to happen. What you can't have are so many examples like they had last year of guys being unblocked simply because nobody was even attempting to block them because there were two guys. How many times have we seen in the last couple of years, Sean, guys, like three guys on one defensive player with two defensive players completely unblocked.
Runners right there.
Yeah, like, okay, don't worry. We got this defensive tackle locked down, coach. Like, meanwhile, yeah. The best pass rusher on the team is completely unblocked.
Yep.
Or plays where you don't even have to have a trained eye to see, well, okay, the four of these guys are blocking one play, and one guy is just off on his own doing something completely different. The cohesiveness, you can become, just at the very least, a credible, acceptable offensive line just by working together as a unit. I think that so far I've seen a lot more evidence of that. I thought that's what they looked like in that first drive where you didn't have all the offensive line starters out there. But they were executing the play the way it was supposed to be executed. There were some physical breakdowns at times. Some of the good 5-yard runs could have been 15-yard runs, mm-hmm. if guys had been better physically. But I'm happy to see them losing against the guy they're supposed to be losing
against.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
It's a hat on a hat. It's a body on a body. So that's encouraging. That what's their ceiling? I don't know. There is a limit to how much you can get done with cohesiveness. But there's enough other good things on this offense that just having a credible, just a competent offensive line can make you a much better offense than
be
last
average.
Year.
Yeah. I will settle for an average offensive line.
If you've got an average offensive line, what happens is, if your skill position players play above average, then all of a sudden that offensive line is, lo and behold, above average.
Yes.
Because their challenges aren't as great.
I saw a stat on social media in the last couple days, and I'm going to generalize here because I don't remember the exact numbers, or CJ was first in this stat. But CJ was, if not first, among the leaders in amount of yards thrown outside of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, he should never be near the top of the league in that stat. Lamar Jackson should be near the league in the top of that stat because you're going to move Lamar Jackson around. Josh Allen, you're going to move around. They're going to scramble. C.J. Stroud is much more of a pocket passer. Now, he showed some athleticism in the playoffs last year that maybe, you know, he pulled that club out of his bag.
But it doesn't need to be a steady diet of that. That needs to be the rhythm
changer. He shouldn't lead the league in it, is my point. Like, he's capable of it, and that's great, and it's not going to be perfect every snap. But C.J. Stroud has no business leading the league in amount of yards thrown outside of the pocket.
You know, Steve Young would probably be the great example of, like, you don't need to be Steve Young.
Yeah.
Steve Young very much made a living with his athleticism.
Yeah.
That doesn't need to be C.J. Stroud.
That's
Like, Steve Young was still great from the pocket, obviously.
For sure.
C.J. Stroud is a pure pocket passer who has the ability to run.
Yep.
But I want him to major in what he is, which is a pure pocket passer.
A texter points out, we were talking earlier about what the Texans need to do to get deeper into the playoffs, and I said they just got to start beating the bad teams that they've lost to the last couple of years. I completely forgot one of the bad teams they lost to, the Carolina Panthers in CJ's rookie year.
And again,
I had forgotten. They lost to the Falcons with Desmond Ridder, the Panthers with rookie Bryce Young, and the Jets with Zach Wilson.
The only thing
still finished 10-7.
The only way that one was a little bit different was that at the very least, Bryce Young didn't have a good game, at least.
16-14 or something like that.
Right. So, I mean, that was the year where that was the Desmond Ridder game. That was like all these games where Zach Wilson had the best game of his career against the Texans
year. Yep.
It's been one of the oddest things about this defense is how good they are, and yet some of their breakdowns are really curious. That's the part where, you know, you look at last year, some of the breakdowns in the secondary are, some of that is washed away theoretically, just by the fact that you don't have two rookies in the secondary.
Yeah.
And that those guys, you know, Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock were much smarter players by the end of the season simply because they weren't rookies anymore.
That's right.
And now they've had a full offseason to work on the things they need to work on.
All right. My request to Jerry Jones is the same today as it's been really for the last several years, but certainly the last several days. Please never stop talking. Mm-hmm. Don't ever stop talking, Jerry Jones.
Right. And based on something he said in this interview, you know for sure you don't have to worry about it.
No. Yeah, for sure. So we'll hear from Jerry Jones.
Someday I'll stop talking.
Yeah. It's
heaven's all of us. Heaven's all of us. We'll stop talking someday.
Yep. We'll get to Jerry Jones coming up next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live inside NRG Stadium up in the broadcast booth. Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast getting you ready for joint practice today. If you're on your way out here, there's a nice long line of Texan fans outside. This is going to be a fun practice out there today. The Carolina Panthers in town. Noon kickoff on Saturday, 9 o'clock. We got Texans countdown going.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that as well. I am excited every time Jerry Jones gets in front of a microphone. This was Jerry Jones. This was Jerry Jones. I believe this was at the premiere of the Cowboys documentary.
So this isn't from the documentary. This is him doing an interview at the premiere where the Cowboys are doing what Jerry Jones has made. It seems like 75% of the time he's talking these days, he's talking about how awesome the team was back in the 90s. So they just went ahead and did a full Netflix documentary about how awesome they were 30 years ago.
Are you going to watch it?
I will.
I think I will, too.
It's one of those
things. It's an interesting team.
Yeah, and it's always one of those. You watch those, and a lot of times it's stuff you already know. something that's made for the masses, but if you're in the sports world all the time, you already know all this stuff, except there's a few little tidbits that come out that maybe you didn't know at the time, or it is new news. So.
I like the new tidbits. I don't care that I know this stuff. I like hearing people's opinions or their own view on it. You know?
Well, a lot of this is, I mean, like Michael Irvin has been very open about how Jerry Jones is too much of a distraction. Like, Michael Irvin will just flat out come out and say it, and you're about to hear exactly what he's talking about.
Okay, this is a good segue right here, because Jerry Jones is exactly right. We're about to hear exactly what Michael Irvin is talking about. This is Jerry Jones on the red carpet for the Netflix premiere of their documentary, basically saying that they kind of seek out controversy. Yeah.
Well, I do believe if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at. The beautiful thing for networks streaming companies is that the NFL is a 365-day-a-year interest factor. A lot of programming, you have to spend as much to make it, to promote it, as you do to make it. The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days.
The screening will begin
when it gets slow. I'll start.
Please take your seats.
And so it is. It's wonderful to have the great athletes, have the great players, but there's something more there. There's sizzle. There's emotion, and if you will, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff in terms of keeping and having people's attention.
Cowboys fans already know this. This is known. You know, Landry's from Dallas, and he's from up there, and he covered the, like, Landry would say this all the time. Like, he wants there to be controversy.
Yeah.
He embraces it. I don't think this was a revelation to Cowboys fans.
No.
I saw a lot of people. Ari Myrov said, Jerry Jones is saying the quiet part out loud. He said a lot of stuff like this before.
Sure.
The part that was kind of jarring was he said, when it's kind of quiet, I'll turn it up.
Turn it up or stir it up.
It is. Look, I think a lot of times the worries about distraction are probably a little bit overblown a lot of the time, but it is a very real thing. And Jerry just takes it and turns it into the exact thing you need to worry about all the time. And a lot of times, coaches don't want a player that's too much of a distraction, because it does. It compounds and grows and turns small issues into big issues. And it just turns into a runaway freight train a lot of times when you've got too much controversy or too much distraction. And this is the owner of the team. You can't trade him away. You can't make him a backup.
You can't trade him. Well, he's not just the owner. He's the GM, too. That's the other thing. It'd be one thing if he was just some owner out there stirring things up. He's the guy making actual decisions about the roster.
If he was a wackadoodle owner, but who also let his GM and his head football coach do their jobs, that would be one thing. But he is the GM. His GM is totally cool with the way Jerry Jones, the owner, operates.
And vice versa.
Kind of like how Bill O'Brien was totally cool with the way the general manager was operating.
That's exactly
when he
right.
was the general manager.
That's exactly right. It is wild to hear him say that in a red carpet situation like that. With Jerry Jones, and it makes me think, like, okay, let's bring it to the present here, because he's talking about historically. This Netflix documentary is about the 90s. To take it back to the current day Cowboys, like, how much does Micah Parsons feel like he's playing a role in a drama right now, as opposed to being the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, that's a part of it.
How much is this Jerry stirring it up in this contract negotiation?
You know, Jimmy Johnson hated that Jerry Jones was always bringing the cameras around and just wanted to let the cameras into the locker room. All these things where Jimmy Johnson really wanted to maintain tight control over things. He was fighting Jerry Jones every step of the way. So that affects your football coach. But Jerry Jones, as the general manager, almost, I think, he has such an appetite for drama and clicks that he lets these contract situations play out to the point where Jerry Jones, as the general manager, is hurting his team's salary cap situation by waiting and waiting and waiting, and then ended up paying $30, $40, $50 million more on deals that could have been done long ago because he wants the eyeballs and the clicks so much.
He is empirically decreasing the chances of his team winning football games.
Yeah.
If you have less cap money to spend, history tells us, You'll you'll lose more games. You know, there's a correlation to that sort of thing.
It's like if he was, it's like he's producing a drama about some guy trying to get insulin to a village in Alaska. And he's like, he's out on the tundra just being like, hey, just, you know, let's just camp out here for a couple of days. It'll be those kids will make it. We'll get there just in time. Yeah. That'll be a better finale.
Oh my God.
We'll get those kids their insulin just at the very, very end of it.
He's wild, man. Hey, speaking of controversy, I had a fantasy football draft last night.
Mm-hmm.
Amy and I share a team in a league that we were invited to play. This is our third year. We were invited by Perry and Jen.
Two of our diehard listeners.
Diehard listeners who have become very good friends of ours, and we love them. And they invited us to be in this league, and we've been in it a couple years. Amy and I have done pretty well. So last night we have our draft. And there's times, very rarely, but there's times that people in the room will ask me something about the Texans, you know, because I'm out of camp every day and things like that. So you tell me if what I did in this draft last night is out of bounds, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about the fourth or fifth round, probably about fifth round of the draft. There's 12 teams in this league. And it is at about the time where Joe Mixon would have been picked already if he weren't injured right now.
Uh-huh.
So he would have been probably like a third-round pick. Joe Mixon's one of the top 10 running backs in football, and he's a really good fantasy guy last year. Scored all the touchdowns for the Texans in the run game, ran for 1,000 yards. So at one point, somebody in the league, I forget who, turns to me and says, hey, Sean, you're out there. What's going on with Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
And this is what I said. I said, it looks like he's going to miss – all of training camp.
Right.
I think that's fair to say, right?
It looks like it at this point. He's not even out there practicing right now. He's certainly not going to be in a preseason game.
That's all I said was it looks like he is going to miss all of training camp. Okay. That person clearly backed off of Joe Mixon, didn't pick them, as did about eight or nine more people.
Yeah.
Until the pick came to me and Amy, the explosive Pendergasm is the name of our team.
Yes.
And I said to Amy, I whispered to her, I said, you know what? He's banged up, but it's a pretty good risk right now. Yeah. Look, we're getting a second round pick in the fifth round. Send in the pick.
Yeah.
And we picked Joe Mixon, and people freaked out.
Yeah.
They freaked out. They said, you told us that he was injured and he wasn't going to play. And I said, he is going to miss all of training camp in all likelihood, which you can Google and find that.
Right, right.
I didn't give you any inside information because I don't have any inside information on Joe Mixon.
You're a short seller in their eyes. That's what you are.
Well, and I manipulated the market.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of a pump and dump is. You dumped and pumped.
I did. I pooped and scooped. Yeah. I scooped up Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
So was that out of bounds? I don't think I said anything that affected – I mean, clearly they backed off. They backed off of Joe Mixon.
That's on them. That's on them. All you said was it looked like it, which you still believe. You could say
I still believe that now.
I believe he's going to miss all of training camp.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't. You guys could have.
Oh, the room freaked out.
You could have quizzed me about it further.
Oh my God.
They can all go die.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope.
Except for Perry and Jen.
No,
them too.
They were mad.
They were amongst the crowd there that was a little tad askew.
Perry and Jen are going to be worried about me again like they were last year at training camp. Because remember last year my training camp injury was that I got hit in the head by a parking garage gate.
Oh, yeah.
And my nose was all bloody and everything.
Yeah.
And they're going to see I've got this bruise on my nose.
Oh, it's healed since yesterday,
punched
though.
In the noggin. I punched myself in the face trying to swat away a bee. I hit myself with the inside of my wrist right on the bridge of my nose.
You know how dumb that sounds.
Yes, I do. You know how dumb it feels?
No. You know how dumb, thank God.
You know how dumb in general that for the second year in a row I've got a training camp injury?
Thank God.
As
oh
a sports radio host?
They're listening right now, I'm sure. They're out here today. They're in that line out there.
Sean, I told you I was doing everything that I tell kids not to do. Like, don't freak out. It's just one bee. They're not going to attack you unless you freak out. In my defense, this bee was actually attacking me. I've never been in a situation like this. It kept hitting me in the head. Like it was it was dive bombing me and not stinging me.
Yeah.
So it was like trying to scare me or something. I don't know what it was doing.
Yeah.
So I just kind of started flailing around.
Yeah.
I was doing it casually, but then it landed on my face and that's where I freaked out.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stung in the eyeball.
No, I get that. You think that all bees are like that little cartoon bee on the Honey Nut Cheerios commercial.
They are
your problem.
Largely a bee is no big deal. And even if it stings you, it's no big deal. It landed on my face and I freaked out a bit, okay?
I was trying to kill kill a bee and I hit myself in the face.
But I definitely got the bee.
Did you kill it?
It did sting me.
Oh, that's good. At least you took him down with you.
It stung me, so it died, right?
Yeah.
That's still how it works?
Oh, is it? Yeah. That's how I was always told.
Once they sting you, it's like a kamikaze mission.
They
sacrifice themselves for the life of the queen.
So they can sting a human being. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's circle back to the Astros. Was last night's win what it needs to look like in order for them to maintain their one-game lead, baby, in the American League West? We'll talk about that coming up.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.